Okay, let's have a word of prayer and open the service. Father, we're thankful for this day. We ask you, blessed what we're doing, Lord God, in these new times with doing Zoom and live worship. And God, help us to navigate through this in such a way that we are a blessing not only to those that are in attendance beginning next week, but also those that will continue to watch on Zoom until their comfort level or where they feel they can attend. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would just work through all the science, Lord, to be able to eradicate this thing so the life can get back to normal. Bless us today. The songs are going to be played. We thank you for each person who has worked hard to put this service together. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. And I want to talk today about healthy road trips. And when I was growing up, one of the things I looked forward to each year was our family vacations. And I can remember my two brothers and my dad sitting down and we discussing where we're going to go this year. And usually it involved a couple things. Number one, it always involved some type of historical site because my father thought that vacations are about education. And it always involves walking through cemeteries, the old Civil War cemeteries. I can remember that. But I remember just the car rides. That to me was the most enjoyable. And I remember back in the 60s, my parents had, I'm not sure what year it was, but a Galaxy 500 convertible. And we did the drive through the Ozark Mountains, about the Blue Mountains in Virginia, Skyline Drive. And I remember how enjoyable that was. And I remember, staying at the hotels and swimming in the pools and stuff. And so road trips were part of my life. And what's interesting is things have kind of changed. I remember when my dad would talk about taking road trips with us and everything else, we would take the maps and map out the directions. And we would play navigator. And now we don't do any of that. I basically listen to the voice. And I changed my GPS voice in my car to something with an English accent. I thought it sounded a lot more cooler than just having a regular accent. So to tell us where to turn, where to go, And I always love the one when I choose to go a different way, recalculating. And we've gotten so spoiled. But I remember the days of actually taking the map out and really looking at where we're going. And then we would have the games we played in the car. We always have the check off this mark here. We pass this road here. And I remember that. Well, I want to use that kind of as an illustration about a healthy road trip as being navigating through life. Because life is kind of like taking a trip, a road trip, and there are a lot of things that we can connect there and metaphors we can use to be able to connect the two subjects together. And I think it's important to have some principles when it comes to the idea of navigating through life, principles for the road trip that we can use as we go forward. And these are simple things, and I'm going to talk about four different ones. But I'm going to focus in on the final one and kind of that's really where I want to, kind of set home in and kind of lay foreground there. So I'd be able to kind of talk about that last one more in depth. But when you're taking principles about taking a trip or whatever in comparison to our life's trip or whatever. And the first one I want to share with you is don't travel alone. We were designed to do life together with other people. That's why churches are important. That's why during these times right now, it's been difficult because we've been doing life, a lot of us have been doing it alone. We've been isolated in our homes. We've been, doing our workouts by ourselves. We've been doing the education by ourselves. And in all reality, we were never designed that way. I think one of the most frustrating things with this whole pandemic we've gone through isn't to worry me so much about getting, the COVID-19. It's simply been the frustration of not having that physical contact and not having that sit across a table for dinner and having a conversation. And even when it comes to church, not being in a facility, and this is kind of nice today, we have about 12 of our leaders here, and we were kind of testing this thing out, but it's been difficult because we were not designed to do life alone. We were designed to do life together. And so, and this first point here, don't travel alone in your life. Make sure you're taking people with you that are good for you, that are healthy for you. The next point I'm going to make kind of works with us a little bit, contradicts a little bit of it, but I'll get to that in a second. But when we go through life, we need to have friendships. We need to have family. We need to have people that that share our ideas and our desires and our focus on things we want to do. There's nothing more enjoyable than spending time with people that you identify with. You know, most of us have our different groups of relationships. We have our family, and then we usually have that close-knit best friends kind of group there. Then we have our acquaintances, and then we expand out from there. But in all reality, is having people that are close to you, that know you, that are healthy for you, that when you blow it, you know, they won't knock you down. They'll help you get picked back up. That's how life is to be. And isolation is no way to go. And that's one reason I think there's going to be a lot of PTSD even after all this, because I do believe that people are designed to do things together and spend time with people and share life. And this is what's been difficult about this. So as you move forward this this road trip of life, make sure that you don't travel alone. Second of all, don't pick up strangers. Now, of course, you may say this doesn't make sense, because how are you going to make friends unless you meet strangers? I want to say it this way. You know, be very careful as you're sharing life with people that you begin to share life with people that are healthy for you and avoid those situations that are not healthy for you. One thing I've thought about those that are in middle school and high school, especially when you go to a new school. And when I was growing up, I was always, every year was a new school. I never went to the same school 2 years in a row in my life that I can remember. I know middle school and high school never did. And I remember one of the mistakes that I made about this is that I usually would gravitate and I would hang with those who accepted me. And there's a little warning about that there, that sometimes that the default of who just accepts us is not the way to go. Make sure you're choosing your relationships, not just entering in because someone accepts you into that, because it may not be the healthiest relationships. But be concerned. And we say about strangers, you know, we don't talk about people being strange. We're talking about the fact of people that maybe you shouldn't pick up in the road of life and where you're going, because they may not be the healthiest for you. And I've had that, and you've had that, and young people go through that. And it's important to don't pick up the strangers. The third one is choose your destination. Choose your destination. And here I want to add something, because I kind of added this last night as I was thinking about this, is that you choose your destination and then borrow someone else's map or GPS. Now, here's what I mean about this. Every one of us should be desiring where we want to go in life. We should be desiring, you know, what we want life to end like. And many times life is about stages of life. We go through, you go through the adolescence, you go through the idea of middle school and high school and then college age, young adult, young married, and everything has a stage of life. And then you get to the point where you have children, and that's a stage of life. And then you get to the point where your children are getting older, that's a stage of life. And then your children graduate and they move on, they get married, that's a stage of life. It's a great stage of life, by the way, when they move out and everything. I always recommend folks change the locks after the last one leaves, and, you know, say you can come over reservation only. Call ahead seating for the family. But that's a stage of life. And then as you get older, you have the stage of life to where you're looking at, okay, your career may be ending and you're entering into the retirement age, and what are you going to do and that there. Have you set your life up? And when I think about the stages of life, that's our destination. Each stage of life is a destination, and each one has things that have to be known going into this. And when I say about borrowing somebody else's map, and of course we don't use maps today, so this is something, if you're a young teenager, you may ask your parents, you know, to pull out the archives of a map in the old glove compartment of an old car, find out what a map actually looked like. The thing about it is that usually you want to borrow someone's map that's already been in that phase of life. What I find sometimes when raising teenagers, and we raised three, and I know I was a teenager, I knew my parents were always trying to give me wisdom of life, understanding, because they've been there before I went there. And I would say, always use the thing that I talked to my friend Tommy, I talked to my friend, you know, Bobby, I talked to my friend Donald, and they think we ought to do this. And the idea was, from my parents, was, but they're not going to give you the best wisdom because they're in the same phase of life that you're in. So they're not So the wisdom of it is check with somebody who has a map, who's been down that road before. So you choose your destination. What kind of father do you want to be like? We're going to talk next week about fatherhood. What kind of mother do you want to be? What kind of individual do you want to be? And usually the best thing to do is to ask somebody who's traveled that destination before and seek the advice and wisdom they have. You know, wisdom is an interesting thing. Wisdom isn't knowing everything. Wisdom is knowing what you don't know and being humble enough to ask somebody who does know the roadmap. And that's wisdom. And so when you're going through life's travels, you know, don't travel alone. Choose people that are healthy. Watch out, you know, don't pick up strangers, somebody who's not going to be good for you, somebody that's simply going to lead you the wrong way. But then choose your destination and seek out the advice and wisdom for those who've already traveled that direction, that destination, to see where you want to go. That's hard to do because our nature is not to accept advice. Our nature is to work it out ourselves and determine our own paths. You know, the older I get now, it's interesting. When I was younger, I didn't want to seek anybody who was older than me's advice on financial security and retirement. The closer I get now, I'm looking at anybody who's ever gone through it and been successful because I want to make sure that I'm set when that time comes. And I think it's always wise to do. And a wise person will always seek out information and advice from those that have traveled that road before. The last one I want to share, and I want to kind of sit here for a few minutes here, is don't carry excess baggage. Now, I got to tell you, when I travel by myself to a conference, or if I go visit my dad or do something like that, I pack exactly what I need. If I'm going for 5 days, then I pack for 5 days, no more, no less. I try to figure out what shoes or sandals I can wear, and I'm wearing sandals today because it's summertime, and Jesus wore sandals, so I'm cool. And so basically is that I will pack only what I need, and that way when I get there, I have it, and if I need anything else, I can buy it when I'm there. I have traveled for 4 days to visit my dad with a bag over my shoulder. That's all I had. Now, there are others that we know of in life, that when they go on a vacation or they go away for 5 days, it's got to have everything they own. It's a security thing. And it's always interesting. You know, you're that kind of person that when you get home, you have a whole bag of clothes that you know that don't have to be washed because you never used them. You put your dirty clothes in one suitcase and the clean clothes are still, and I'm getting a lot of nodded heads here, so we all know people like that. And so, you know, to me, and it's always interesting too, that when I was raising the kids and the kids would bring their extra stuff or whatever, you know, it's always dad that has to carry the luggage into where you're staying and out of where you're staying. And really, the lighter the bags, the better off we're going to be. Well, when I think about in life, about excess baggage, I think about things that hurt us. You know, in life, the things that will mess us up the most, that we won't reach our destination, we won't enjoy the life that God has planned for us or whatever, is simply because we carry baggage. And most of our baggage we carry is in relationships. Most of the baggage we have, most of our headaches, most of our problems, most of our depression, most of our discouragement is because of situations or relationships that did not pan out, did not work out, did not come to fruition, or hurt us very badly, whether it's a relationship from work, whether it's a relationship from school, whether it's a relationship in any environment. Families can be that way. Extended families can be that way. And to me, that's excess baggage. That will drag you down. That will just suck the life right out of you when you carry that kind of baggage. And it comes down to one word we're going to kind of focus on here for the next few minutes, and that word is forgiveness. Forgiveness is an interesting word because it's one thing that one word when you think about it that you have a hard time doing it. Our human nature is to hold grudges. Our human nature is to build walls around us for those that have created us pain or things like that. Our human nature and the nature we have inside of it is simply to protect ourselves. And sometimes we even retaliate or we pay back because it makes us feel good in the inside. But the Christian faith is designed differently. And it's not just designed differently because God says forgive, because, you know, we ought to be obedient to God or to the spirit world in that there. But it's healthy for us. Because the one thing that will eat us up and the one thing that will take the joy and take the lifeblood out of our system is when bad things happen to us, but yet we refuse to forgive. The Apostle Paul wrote this, St. Paul, some of you may refer to him, in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 26 through 27, he says, "And don't sin by letting your anger control you." I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. "Don't let the sun go down while you're angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." Now, I've heard a lot of people say that this verse here is talking about the fact you can get angry, but you got to make sure you're not angry when you go to bed. Of course, if you get angry after bedtime, I guess you got a whole another 24 hours to work that out, I guess. There's the rule there. This isn't really a firm, this is the law of God or whatever, that if you get mad during the day, you get hurt, and you have to forgive and get over it by the time you go to bed. What it's talking about there basically is that Paul is saying, don't let the anger control you. Make sure you have a systematic approach that you deal with your anger and make sure you do what you can in a certain amount of time to fix the problem, to adjust the problem, to reconcile with that person, to let it go. And sometimes it's not about reconciling with that person. Sometimes that person doesn't want to reconcile. And, you know, I disagree with you, you disagree with me, you hurt me, you hurt me. And sometimes there's never any resolution. And what Paul is trying to say here is says, don't let it eat you up. Don't let it control you. And the best thing to do is set into your mind that I am going to allow myself to be irritated with the situation. I'm going to allow myself to be hurt from the situation. But I'm going to set in my life that within a certain amount of time, and he uses here a day reference, I'm going to make sure I let it go, I forgive, and I move on from it. And that's hard to do because here's the funny thing. We don't get hurt by people that are we don't know very, very well. We don't get hurt by people. You know, if I'm at a gas station pumping gas and somebody's having a bad day and they yell at me or whatever about something or whatever, I don't go home and worry that our relationship's hurt. I didn't have a relationship with them. It bothered me the way they talked to me, but I don't. Most of our pain is usually by those that are closest to us. And that's why it hurts the most. You know, the first thing we do is try to reconcile with them and try. And it doesn't mean you have to prove you're right or they're right. Sometimes we think so many times is that being right is more important than being in a relationship, and that's not true. And here's the thing about being right. You may think you're right today, but in 10 years from now, you may realize you were wrong. Because you may, where you are in life, this is your parameter. This is your sphere of an understanding, and your understanding may evolve. You know, it's like raising kids. You know, somebody may come to you, and they may want to give you advice about what your kids are doing, and they're young kids. You may say, "I know it all. I'm their parent. Leave me alone." And somebody who's been through that, who's raised kids, you know, and although just freely offering advice is not the wise thing to do, I don't offer advice to my kids unless they ask it. But here's the thing, is that 5 years ago from now, when your kids are teenagers and you realize what that person was trying to warn you about, your perspective of what's right and wrong will change. Be very careful about absolutes in all of life because there aren't a lot of absolutes. It's all based upon our environment we're raised in, where we're at, our sphere of life, that destination we're going on, that phase of life. But he says, you know, you need to don't hold it in. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry, which means in a certain amount of time, have a systematic. And then he says this, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And a lot of folks don't like to talk about the devil, whether you believe the devil's a real person or not a real person or spirit world or whatever. What Paul is saying here is that if you allow yourself to fester with anger, it's simply going to keep festering. And he goes on and says this in Ephesians chapter 4, further down, 31, 32. He kind of concludes this part. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. He says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So when Paul gets to this last phrase here, he first says, don't hold in this baggage. because it's going to drag you down a life's destination, a life's road trip. He says, choose your systematic way of getting over it, getting beyond. Even if the person didn't make it right, you're not going to live with this bondage of having this eat you up inside. And he says here, there, because he says, it will build up in bitterness. It will build up in rage. It will build up in harsh words. It will build up in slander and all kinds of negative, evil behavior. What he's trying to say here, if you don't give up that excess baggage, that somebody had bothered you, somebody had hurt you or whatever in life, and if you don't give that up and get over it and forgive that person, it's going to eat at you. But then he gives some advice. He says, but instead of having that, be kind to each other. Now, I want the references too, okay? It's easy to be kind to people who are kind to you, but if you think about the passage you're reading, he just talked about bitterness, rage, and harsh words. So he's talking about while you're in a situation where you've been treated unfairly, injustice, why you have been treated badly, why you've been hurt, why you've been that. It says, instead of getting mad and getting revenge, be kind to each person. Which means the person that hurt you is to be kind to them, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, not because their actions deserve it, because they may not. Well, there are a lot of people that have done any of us injustice, and they may not be deserving of any type of forgiveness from us, but we don't forgive them because, you know, they asked or deserving. We forgive for this reason, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And when you think about that, it comes down to this. Until you are a perfect person that never has hurt anybody, has never been in need of forgiveness, until you reach that point, you got to be forgiving. The Bible teaches a lot about sowing and reaping, whatever comes back. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. So if you're going to be a person that wants to be forgiven and given the benefit of the doubt and given acceptance when you blow it or whatever, you have to be a person that has that attribute going forward. It's not easy. It's not always the easy path to take. But in the spiritual world, what part of spirituality? And by the way, in the spirituality of this, does that not affect just how you treat somebody else, but it also how it affects your own peace and serenity in life? People who hold grudges are miserable. People who don't forgive are miserable. People who can't see and allow imperfection in somebody else's life are miserable. And they haven't really done a true evaluation of themselves and how messed up they can be. So until you're perfect, don't expect perfection from anybody else. So the road trip, don't travel alone. Don't pick up strangers. Don't choose your destination and choose somebody who has a roadmap that they've been there before to help you go. Wisdom is knowing what you don't know and being humble enough to ask somebody else for information. But don't carry excess baggage. That's the big one. Because in life, if you want to have joy and peace and enjoy life, you got to learn to forgive, let go, and move on. And realize at the end of the day, we're all God's children, and God will take care of whatever injustice that have been done, and God will elevate you in a lot of ways because of the way that you've approached your relationships. I want to give you the walk away, and the walk away is simply this, and we use this each week, and it is forgiveness is not about fairness. Forgiveness is about freedom. It's not always fair. I've had to forgive people that really didn't think they did anything wrong, and I might have said to myself, this is not fair. Or I may have to forgive people, but that what they did to me hurt me with other people, I could never correct. And as much as I want to scream from the mountaintop, I didn't do that, or that wasn't what I said, or that wasn't the attitude I had. But I have to forgive, because forgiveness is not about fairness, it's about freedom. And you're a lot more free when you are able to let go, forgive, move on, and it's liberating not to think about those things again. Don't carry the baggage with you. It's just going to drag you down in your walk of life. As you navigate through the trip of life, don't go it alone. Watch out for those that are not healthy for you. Make sure you know where you're going, and then get rid of the excess baggage. That's the talk for today, and I hope it's been beneficial to you today. My hope is as we move forward that we'll be able to share more with people in the auditorium and also on Zoom. And I invite you here for Father's Day. We will have an app, I believe, that will give you the chance to reserve seating. If we find ourselves at a point where we're getting to the capacities beyond what we can have, we may add a morning service, or we are retrofitting the building with closed circuit TVs in each room, so we may be able to have a family in a room down the hallway. That may work with you that have kids. Right now, we're doing family-style services. And so we hope to see you Father's Day, and it should be a good time.